You're listening to a download from North Sound 2. Listen again. Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
Welcome to Stained Glass Radio. How are you tonight? It's that time of year, isn't it? Yep, it's spring when people get out into the garden and do lots of work, and then they come into work and they tell you about it and make you feel really guilty. That's what happens in my case anyway, for sure. I'll have to get together some garden tools. Absolutely. I have to make a start this year. I'm determined. So get out and buy those tools. I'll have to buy that machete. Anyway, on the show tonight, Stained Glass Radio News and the What's On information coming up later. And our thought for the week this week comes from the Reverend Marcus Alferman of Woodside Parish Church in Aberdeen. And what do you think of when somebody mentions paganism? Maybe involvement with the occult, maybe shadowy figures dressed in sheets dancing around Stonehenge, maybe rituals involving human sacrifice. Well, you might be surprised to find out that according to our guest, paganism rarely involves any of these things. And in fact, many people are pagans without realizing it at all. Dr. Peter Jones is adjunct professor at Westminster Seminary in California, USA. He's written a book called True or False, Thinking Correctly About New Spirituality. And it's on Day One Publications. He'll be joining us on the line from California, USA, later on tonight on Stained Glass Radio and telling us about the multitude of ways that paganism, or oneism, as he prefers to call it, shows up in society today.
Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
It's time for our thought for the week, and this week it comes from the Reverend Marcus of Woodside Parish Church in Aberdeen.
Yeah, good evening, friends in Christ. We are in the Easter season, and I like to talk to you a little bit about that. The Gospels of the New Testament do not demand that we understand Christ. Surprised? Rather, they offer the burden-lightening insight that Christ understands us. We do not have to understand Easter to experience Easter. Christ's capacity for understanding defies our comprehension. This one who inspires magnificent visions also ministers amid shattered dreams. This one, known as a Prince of Peace, does not shy away from chaos and conflict. This one who taught us to pray accepts people who are so troubled that they can't pray. This one who offers salvation identifies with people confounded by feelings of lostness. This one who offers unmatched encouragement knows better than any other the depth of discouragement. Do you hear? Do you grasp the meaning? If you did not sense the joy of Easter morning, if you had not felt Christ rise, if you cannot shout hallelujah, that does not mean that you must drop your head and take off toward Emmaus or some other place to give up. Christ understands. He understands you. So Christ appears. The presence of Christ among us does not depend upon the quality of our understanding of Him, or even upon the nature of our reception of His presence. Christ appears in the midst of people not even looking for Him. And that's so remarkable. That's a miracle of Easter, that Christ comes to us nevertheless, is in our midst, lives our life, dies our death, and is risen, and will rise with us again, forever and ever.
Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
And it's news from a Christian perspective. Stained Glass Radio News. A new poll released this week from the US-based Anti-Defamation League found disturbingly high rates of anti-Semitism in 10 European countries, including the UK. The opinion survey, which took into account 5,000 adults' views, 500 from each country, on a variety of issues, found that large portions of Europe embrace classical anti-Semitic notions. The ADL reports that these notions include a belief in the idea that Jews have too much power in the business world and are more loyal to the Israeli homeland than their own country of residence. Additionally, the poll found that many of the respondents believe that Jews speak too much about what happened during the Holocaust. In a report called Attitudes Toward Jews in 10 European Countries, the results, which were collected from January 2nd to 31st, are fully explained. According to the ADL, these anti-Semitic beliefs are held by nearly one-third of respondents. The countries included in the study were Austria, France, Germany, Hungary, Italy, the Netherlands, Norway, Poland, Spain, and the United Kingdom. Among respondents in Hungary, 73% answered that it is probably true that Jews have too much power in the business world. The proportion for Spain was 60%. While this indicator has decreased in some countries, it is up in the United Kingdom, 20% in 2012 versus 15% in 2009, and has also risen slightly in Germany, 22% in 2012 versus 21% in 2009. Abraham H. Foxman, ADL's national director, said the survey is disturbing by the fact that anti-Semitism remains at high levels across the continent and infects many Europeans at a much higher level than we see in the United States. In Hungary, Spain, and Poland, the numbers for anti-Semitic attitudes are literally off the charts and demand a serious response from political, civic, and religious leaders. Just 2 weeks after a pro-Palestinian gathering of evangelicals was held in the town of Jesus' birth, the First Baptist Church of Bethlehem has had the Palestinian Authority refuse the church's re-registration application. The Christ at the Checkpoint conference hosted by Bethlehem Bible College attracted evangelical speakers from around the world who hold to the replacement theology view that the Jewish nation has no place in God's plan, present or future. Though laudably calling for peace, justice, and reconciliation, the underlying motives, as expressed by the conference title, are based on what has become known as Christian Palestinianism, a one-sided stance which lays the bulk of the blame on Israel for the conflict in the land and the troubles between Jews and Arabs. In the wake of the conference at the Bible College, the Palestinian Authority is now refusing to renew the official registration papers of the First Baptist Church of Bethlehem, apparently due in part to its reluctance to join other Palestinian institutions in criticizing Israel. The denial has come the week after Palestinian Authority Prime Minister Salam Fayyad appeared at the conference and assured the delegates that the Palestinian Authority welcomes all Christians and does not discriminate against them. Yet both Bethlehem and Nazareth, which had been essentially Christian communities, now have strong Muslim majorities which are driving believers out of the townships, with three-quarters of all Bethlehem Christians now living abroad. Some observers have said that within a generation, Bethlehem could become a city of Christian holy sites with no Christian residents. The Bethlehem Baptist Church has been firebombed 14 times, and two young Christian women have been shot and killed for inviting young children to a holiday Bible school. However, in spite of the history of persecution and the most recent license refusal, church members are still holding to their regular weekly prayer and worship services. Senior pastor Naeem Khoury, who has himself been shot at several times and receives continual death threats, has applied recently for a periodic renewal of the church's official registration, but was informed that it had been denied. No other evangelical churches or institutions are encountering such problems at present, and thus the suspicion is falling on the way First Baptist Church of Bethlehem has stood for peaceful relations between Israelis and Palestinians over the years, while also teaching from the Old Testament prophets and disagreeing with replacement theology. If a politician said he wanted to, quote, cement our city as a beacon that demonstrates the meaning of the words of the prophet, unquote, one might assume that that politician came from Syria, Iran, or maybe even one of Egypt's more radical Muslim factions. But they'd be wrong. That person is, in fact, the Labour Party's candidate for London Mayor, Ken Livingstone. The Daily Telegraph wrote, Livingstone, Labour's candidate for Mayor of London, pledged to educate the mass of Londoners in Islam, saying, that will help to cement our city as a beacon that demonstrates the meaning of the words of the prophet. Mr. Livingstone described Mohammed's words in his last sermon as an agenda for all humanity. He praised the prophet's last sermon, telling his audience, I want to spend the next 4 years making sure that every non-Muslim in London knows and understands its words and message. Mr. Livingstone was speaking at last Friday's Juma prayer at the North London Central Mosque, also known as Finsbury Park Mosque, formerly controlled by the terrorist recruiter Abu Hamza. And finally, the latest fight between atheists and religious groups in Florida has taken a bizarre turn. Polk County, Florida, sits right in the middle of the Sunshine State. And last year, area religious leaders formed a group, Polk Under Prayer, PUP, that decided to bless the Polk County line along Highway 98. PUP's director said the act was done so that, quote, God would protect us from evildoers, mainly the drug crowd, that they would be dissuaded to come into the country, unquote. This gesture has apparently offended area atheists deeply enough that they felt the need to organize an event on Saturday to symbolically scrub away the holy oils used by PUP to bless the county line. Local news reported that the atheists, organized by the Humanists of Florida, used unholy water to remove the blessing and wash the road because it made them feel uncomfortable. Stained Glass Radio News. In a moment, we're speaking to Dr. Peter Jones about his book, True or False, Thinking Correctly About New Spirituality. Meanwhile, listen to Cademan's Call and Thankful. Listen to the first couple of lines of this song. I'm sure they sing, I know how to rent a frog in a box of leopards. See what you think.
Know how to rent a frog in a box of leopards.
Stained Glass Radio. 1035 medium wave. North Sound 2.
Well, a few weeks ago on Stained Glass Radio, you remember we spoke to Stephen McCoyd about his book on tolerance. Now, Stephen's point was that the word tolerance has been redefined. It used to mean being patient in the face of something you didn't like. But today, it means accepting a variety of points of view as being valid. And tolerance is still seen as a virtue. So today, we're told that one religious view is as valid as another. And you're being intolerant if you claim that yours is the only true faith. But suppose there only is one truth. What does that indicate? It means that there's a big deception going on, and you, me, and everyone else who holds a religious faith is in danger of being deceived. Dr. Peter Jones is Director of Truth Exchange and Adjunct Professor at Westminster Seminary, California. Peter has written a book called True or False, Thinking Correctly About New Spirituality, and we're delighted to have him join us on the line from California, USA tonight. Thanks for joining us, Peter. It's great to have you on.
Well, it's good to talk to you. In Aberdeen, are you?
Yes, we're in Aberdeen.
Yes, and I'm in San Diego, but I shall be in the UK next week, as a matter of fact.
Right, so whereabouts in the UK?
I'm going to be giving a lecture in Oxford for the Wilberforce Academy.
Okay, well, if anyone's down that direction at that particular time, I'm sure they'll look that up. Your book, Peter, you say in your book that paganism is flooding the West. But not many people in the West would see themselves as pagan, would they? In fact, many people, I'm sure, would take being called a pagan as an insult. Is it really widespread today?
Well, it all depends what you mean by pagan, of course. I take it not in its very specialized sense, but in its generic sense. And that's very different. I understand why people would feel offended by a certain use of that term, namely that you were accusing them of being involved in strange witchcraft activities.
You think of people dancing around Stonehenge.
That's
when you
right.
Say things like
that's
that.
Right. And, of course, that is one expression of it. But, you know, paganism, in its generic sense, is the worship of nature in all forms. And, as a matter of fact, when you use it that way, it's the way the Apostle Paul describes it, and that's where my book begins, really, when he shows us 2,000 years ago that there are only two ways of thinking. There's the way of thinking based on the worship of creation, the worship and service of creation, or the worship and service of the Creator. And he calls those either the lie or the truth, hence the title of my book, True or False. It's a fascinating biblical text that we've not really looked at in a lot of seriousness, it seems to me. And to see that Paul is making a very profound statement about the nature of existence.
Is that where he says that they've exchanged the worship of their creator for the worship of animals and creeping things?
That's right. That's yes. right. It's Romans, the particular verse is Romans 1:25.
So what are some of the ways then that we can see paganism working in society today? I mean, you say, for example, it's present in pop culture like Star Wars.
Right. By the way, I stopped using the term pagan, really, because of the problem you described. And I moved to using terms like monism and theism as perhaps better ways of talking about the same phenomenon.
Okay, so we don't refer to pagans anymore, we refer to monists.
And now I actually move beyond that, and I talk about oneism and twoism. Those are more easily understood by the average person as the two ways of relating to the world. We can talk about that in a minute if you wish. But oneism is a pagan view of the world. Now, you get that expressed in a thousand different ways. You can be a spiritual person. You can actually be a materialistic kind of person and still be a oneist. If you are interpreting the world by the world rather than by the creator of the world. And so there are many ways of being a pagan oneist. And that's why I mentioned Star Wars, because that's the modern mythology of monism or oneism for the present age. And the proof of that is that the guru of George Lucas, whose name was Joseph Campbell, who was raised as a Roman Catholic and left the Roman Catholic faith to become one of the popularizers of what he called ancient mythology, proposed that all the gods of the myths we find within ourselves. So you see, the worship of creation is also the worship of the self, as the place where the gods or true spirituality resides. And that's where George Lucas was inspired to create this myth for the 21st century in Star Wars. And that's what Joseph Campbell actually says that George Lucas had done.
So are we saying that the Force in Star Wars, this idea of the Force, this all-pervading power, this influence, this is monism at work?
That's right. The Force, you see, and this is true about paganism, monism, pantheism, is that the Force is an impersonal energy. And the question is, where do you find it? And you find the Force within. So you are the source of the Force. And the interesting thing, why this is so mythologically pagan, is in paganism throughout history, the Force within enables the individual person, and this comes straight out of Carl Jung's psychology, enables the individual person to join the opposites, to bring the good and evil, the right and wrong, the male and female, into a unity of relative relationships. And the individual, therefore, is able to reign over the apparent opposites. And they're only apparent. There is no such thing ultimately.
So good and evil aren't opposites. Good and evil, in fact, are part of the two sides of the same coin.
That's right. They're aspects of the same oneist reality. And the proof that that is fundamentally true of Star Wars is that the final message is that there is a light and dark side, and that the hero is the balancer. Mm-hmm. Who balances these two sides. That is classic paganism.
Yeah, and it's so attractive to people.
It is, because it is the modern form of liberty, a total liberation from any notions of objective definitions of who we are, allowing us as autonomous human beings to define reality the way we wish to define it.
what you're doing is you're accepting evil as part of of the construct, and once you accept evil, there becomes no strict definition between right and wrong.
That's
and
right.
you get a feeling of liberation out of that, because nothing is wrong for you anymore.
That's right. And of course, the ultimate liberation is the liberation from the very notion that there is a personal triune God to which we are accountable. So you have eliminated the problem deep inside of you, the sense of guilt, because you have gotten rid of the source of good and evil in a sense of being problematic for you, namely that there is a God who defines what is good, and the refusal of that is the source of evil.
And of course,
so
you've got rid of
the final stage of this autonomous paganism is the rejection of God the Creator, so that we come back to Romans 1:25, where people do not worship the Creator, they worship the creation.
You say that even the theory of evolution actually promotes monism or paganism. How does it do that?
Well, again, in its obviously Darwinian and neo-Darwinian forms, and I'm not a great scientist, but I talk as a theologian that evolution sort of eliminates the distinctions within creation that God has placed in creation, so that the distinction between humans and animals disappears, and the distinction really between God and creation disappears, because you don't need God to make the system work. So it is certainly a scientific theory that tends to promote this monistic view of the world as reality totally independent of any creator. And the way you see modern pagans using evolution really shows how the notion of evolution can indeed be used. It is nature that creates itself, that is self-evolving, that's taking us to a new place somewhere we don't know, but we can trust nature as a divine being, as Gaia, to take us forward into the future.
There's a growing movement in the world today talking about unity in religious faith. Our ex-Prime Minister Tony Blair is now a Roman Catholic, and he heads a faith foundation that seeks to draw people of all faiths together all faiths together in the name of peace and dare I say it, tolerance. Is this something that Christians should feel able to support?
Again, what is the deep message? Obviously, Christians should be in favor of a tolerant view of other human beings, simply from the fact that we are all creatures made in God's image and thus deserve respect. But beyond that, there is a fundamental problem. Again, it's this utopian humanistic view that if we bring all the religions together, that somehow we will be able to bring about religious peace. And that's similarly the same problem as what I mentioned earlier. And the reason why I say that is that this interfaith movement actually fails to account for a fundamental problem. And that is, and I try to develop that in the little book, True or False, that there are indeed two fundamental religions, and that you cannot bring them together. And very often the interfaith movement, in order to bring about a false sort of peace, will actually suppress any knowledge of the other religious option and simply go ahead affirming that all religions are the same, but they're not. There are, says Paul in Romans 1:25, two religions. Religions that worship the earth or creation in many and different ways, and that which worships the Creator who is blessed forever. And those two options can never be joined together, so that at an ultimate level, there is no religious peace where all religions are the same. There are two fundamentally different religions, and we have to live with that fact.
the idea that comes forms a basis for this foundation is that everybody's point of view is valid. And indeed, you know, what you're saying is that that is impossible. There are fundamentals in each and every religion that make it differ from the others, and so joining them together is just impossible unless you ask people somehow to ignore these.
That's right. And sometimes it is an issue of subterfuge, because many of these optimistic interfaith folks don't want you to see that there is a fundamental problem. And so the Christian faith in particular is dismissed as mythological, out of touch, and long since no longer interesting. And you see this in modern day thinkers of the new progressive spirituality, of integral spirituality. They have dismissed Christianity, and they want to bring all the religions into an integration. But Christianity, they argue, was a mythic religion beyond which we have now evolved and no longer need anymore. The problem is, though, that the fundamental distinction between religion that worships creation and that which worships the Creator still remains with us.
And, I mean, the world today is, I mean, anyone who listens to our little news summary that we put in the program, Stained Glass Radio News, knows that the world is becoming a very tough place for Christians. And from what you're saying about monism, it seems to be nothing less than the complete opposite of everything that Christianity stands for. I mean, is this why we can see such a rising tide of opposition towards Christianity in everything from national governments? I mean, President Obama has actually been described as waging war on Christianity, right down to English local authorities banning local churches from ringing their bells on Sunday. Is this monism at work, do you think?
Absolutely. I've lived through this amazing period of history, and that's why I went ultimately to Romans 1:25 to seek some kind of clarity, because, you know, we have lived in the West under the umbrella of tuism or theism for centuries. And during my lifetime, I watched a revolution take place. It was called a cultural revolution. And it is sometimes called the 60s revolution. And many of your younger listeners probably know little about that. But it seemed sort of peripheral at the time. But as this movement has gained in speed and power, it has emerged as the very opponent, which it was when it first came out, the very opponent of a tuist, theist worldview. And it has succeeded in affecting lots and lots of people in our time, so that it's been able to take over political power in many areas. And as Christianity has receded in its social power, this monistic religion is taking power. And it is ruthless, really, in the way it does it. I read yesterday that one of the fine universities in the South of America, Vanderbilt in Nashville, has declared that evangelical Christianity is illegal on the campus, and that Christians may not organize Christian groups as part of student associations.
Yeah,
and thus is eliminated from life on the campus. By the way, that's the buckle of the Bible Belt.
Yeah, it's incredible to see these things happening, and they're happening more and more these days. Just to round off, Peter, it's clearly vitally important that we pick the right side here. What can people do to avoid being influenced by this tide of monism that's sweeping our society then?
Good question. I think we've been all taken by surprise. I think we all thought that Christianity would go on unquestioned as the basic rule of life. You know, we have the Anglican Church, the Queen as defender of the faith, the British Empire, and all those kinds of things that sort of promised that things would go on the way they've always gone on. Well, of course, this is no longer the empire. And now we see that the church no longer speaks in for many people. And thus we're being taken by surprise by this new ideology of monism. I like to call it oneism, to be simple.
Yeah.
We're taken surprise by that, and of course, it is often couched in terms of civil rights. It's not couched in terms of religion. It is, though, Ken, profoundly religious. It is the other religion. I'm starting to develop a website called onlytworeligions.com, and I'm begun to argue that there are indeed only two religions, either oneism or twoism. And the more Christians can understand that, the more they can see that this grows out of Scripture and its witness, and then they will understand. Then it will be explained to them what is happening in our time. This is the conflict of two antithetical, radically opposing religious worldviews that cannot be joined together. One has to suppress the other. And in our day, it's not Christianity holding back the forces of oneism. It's oneism silencing the twoist Christian notions.
Yes.
I recently wrote a book last year, and it could be seen as a companion volume to the one we're talking about now, called One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference, which is actually an exegesis and an application of Romans 1 to the present world. And I think your listeners would enjoy that. That's available on my website, truthexchange.com. And I'm not talking about that, you know, just to simply push a book, but in response to your question, that I think we need to see much more the world in black and white terms these days, because it is becoming very black and white. It is becoming clearly divided between two different, and really the only two worldviews on offer. My wife reminds me that book also is available now on ebook, from the website. So any of the cutting edge listeners of Stained Glass Windows will be able to get it as an ebook.
All right, that's good to know. Thank you, Peter. One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference. In fact, we may talk to you again about that book later on, in a later edition of the show. And your website, www.onlytworeligions, that's T-W-O religions, yes?
Yep.
Rather than the number two, onlytworeligions.com. Dr. Peter Jones, Director of Truth Exchange, and author of True or False, Thinking Correctly About New Spirituality. Thank you very much indeed for joining us tonight on Stained Glass Radio. It's a very, very important subject. We need to know where we stand. Thank you indeed.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 medium wave, North Sound 2.
Our thanks go to Dr. Peter Jones for joining us tonight, all the way from California, USA, talking about his book, True or False, Thinking Correctly About New Spirituality. And if you'd like to take a look at Dr. Jones' website, it's www.onlytworeligions.com, www.onlytworeligions.com. And of course, with Dr. Jones' other hat on, he is director of truthexchange.com, www.truthexchange, spelled T-R-U-T-H-X-C-H-A-N-G-E. .com. And you can buy his new book on there, which is called One or Two, Seeing a World of Difference. And that's available as an ebook too. And just before we go for our What's On information, can I mention that if you'd like to hear any of the show again, or any of the shows from the past few weeks again, you might want to check up on something we said in the What's On information, or listen to the Thought for the Week, or indeed any of our guests, including Dr. Jones, you can do so, because we're now on Listen Again on the website at www.northsound2.com.
Every Saturday afternoon at 6 here on North Sound 2, you can forget all your cares and woes by joining the ever-growing legion of listeners who, from the comfort of their own fireside, enjoy the music and song in Jack Sinclair's Saturday Ceilidh. You can hear the very best of Scottish entertainment, including latest leaders, old favourites, nostalgic anecdotes, and news of current live events. Requests and dedications are very welcome to Jack Sinclair, North Sound 2, Abbotswell Road, Aberdeen AB123AJ, or by email jack@northsound2.com.
Well, let's take a look at the What's On information in association with the Aberdeen Christian Diary. On the web at www.the-abcd.org.uk. Well, tomorrow, Monday 26th, DNA, Journey of Discipleship Taster Day in Aberdeen. And DNA is an exciting 11-month journey of church-based discipleship for in the context of mission, it says. It's for those who recognize their desire to be useful and truthful in the kingdom of God, but are also humble enough to recognize their need for development. For any age, 18 and upward, and the program is accredited through the National Open College Network. The contact telephone number for that, 01808-521787. That's 01808-521787, or mobile 07905-625195, or email dna@dna-uk.org. Tuesday 27th and mission-shaped intro 7:30 until 9 p.m. at St. Devedick's Church Hall, 2 Baileyswells Road, Beeldside, Aberdeen, AB159AP. Where do we go from here is the title, and it's the last of 6 fortnightly Tuesday evenings to rediscover mission and reimagine church, led by Jerry and Joe Bowyer. And for more information, contact the Reverend Paul Watson on 01224-861-552 or email paulrobertwatson@googlemail.com. Thursday 29th and Torch Trust Easter Praise Event, 2:30 until 4 p.m. at Deeside Christian Fellowship Church, Bing Hill Drive, Mill Timber, AB13OJE. We look forward to welcoming people with any degree of sight loss, it says, and their friends. Refreshments will be served afterwards. Further information, or if you'd like to attend and need transport for that, contact Lynn McCurry on 01-3398-84-222. That's 01-3398-84-222. Or Christine Ferreira on 01-224-735-950. Thursday 29th of March through until Thursday 7th of June, the Getty Tour rehearsal, choir rehearsal, is 7:30 until 9:30 p.m. at Gilkemson South Church, Union Street, Aberdeen, AB101TP. Weekly rehearsals on Thursday evenings with conductor Andrew Bruce, preparing for the music hall concert on 8th of June with Keith and Kristen Getty and the new Scottish Choir and Orchestra. If you're interested in singing, you're very welcome to join and come to as many rehearsals as you can and invite other singers along too. More information is available on the website newscottish.org and www.gettymusic.com. Friday the 30th, and Ian White is in concert, 7:30 p.m. at St. Leonard's Church, High Street, Forres, IV36 1PB. The tour is featuring songs from Ian's new Sound and Vision album. Tickets are £5. The contact Peter Robertson on 01309-676-769 or email probertson2@o2.co.uk. That's probertson2@o2.co.uk. That's it for the What's On information. Anything you'd like us to include and tell everybody about, it's stainedglassradio@northsound2.com. stainedglassradio@northsound2.com.
Stained Glass Radio, 1035 medium wave, North Sound 2. Listen again to what you've missed and access exclusive online-only content at northsound2.com.